Welcome to the eGovernance Academy podcast to discover the future of governance. Tune in for the Digital Government podcast every Wednesday.
Welcome back indeed to another episode of the Digital Government podcast. I am your usual host, Federico Plantera, journalist, sociologist, and researcher. And today with me, we have actually two guests from the Western Balkans, because today's topic is indeed the CSO's role in shaping and implementing digital agenda in the Western Balkans, so in the area. With the to talk about this topic, we have Snežana Nikčević from Montenegro, who is the National Project Coordinator and is part of the NGO 35mm. Together with her, we also have Admirim Aliti, Minister specifically of Information Society and Administration from North Macedonia. So welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Federico.
And the thing is that Admirim and Snežana are in Tallinn, because at the moment there is indeed a study trip that is happening for the for a number of participants into this this project. The project being ITSEDA, Increasing Civic Engagement in the Digital Agenda. And they are exactly public decision makers and as well representatives of civil society organizations are in Tallinn to essentially like learn more about the Estonian experience with all these topics. But before getting to, talk a little bit about what you expect to see in Tallinn, because actually as we record this is the first day of this trip. Then probably when this will be online, of course, like you will be already back in the Western Balkans. But let's talk about the situation there. So in terms of digital transformation in Western Balkan countries, like what has happened during the past years, mostly in terms of achievements? And then after I will ask you also like about some of the challenges. Admirim, maybe you can start, and then Snežana can chip in, of course, whenever she wants.
Well, just to clarify my position, I'm in this position for 2 months only, so I'm a pretty much new minister. But before I worked in the public institutions, in one of the institutions which is related to digitalization is National Broadcasting. I used to be director in there. So I'm informed, but maybe not for the whole picture. Generally, I can say that in our country, but I suppose it's similar situation in other Balkan countries, is that a lot of projects have been started in digitalization, but there are a lot of missing elements. So I think the responsibility and the duty of decision makers like us is how to connect these dots and how to encourage all institutions, to go digital. Because, for instance, in North Macedonia, it's our ministry which has the responsibility both on the government level to lead with digitalization, but also to support and to help other institutions which directly deal with citizens. Because let's say our institution, we are this supportive component for institutions, but it's, let's say, the Directorate of Registry or the Ministry of Interior and other institutions which deal with citizens. What we can say is that today citizens are ready to go digital. It's countries or government institutions which should do more to digitalize and to make services easily accessible for the citizens. So in this direction, what we are trying to do is involve more stakeholders. In this case, the non-governmental sector, the private sector, and government institutions to join forces in order to reach the level of digitalization that we need. In this context is also this event in Estonia.
Snežana, yes. Talking about exactly involving more actors, let's say, in the picture and more stakeholders, from you, I would like to know. So, do you think in that indeed, or like, do you see that citizens, let's say, or like civil society organizations as a whole in the area are maybe now more ready than before, let's say, even perhaps as a consequence of this project happening, let's say, is there more readiness indeed to go digital? Has something changed in the past few years that determines, I don't know, this like wish for an increased involvement?
Yeah, I mean, the COVID virus definitely increased the readiness of people. And I think it is more like because they had to, in a lot of senses, because a lot of things went online and really rapidly. But what I would like to say, and I would like to agree, that citizens are ready. But, you know, there is also a sword with, like, you know, two sharps, or what it is said in English, because at one point we are used to these applications like Facebook, you know, like e-banking and stuff like that. So we expect that, you know, even the government services are, as the minister already said, are easily accessible, that are easy to use, that you don't have many steps. So these are like some expectations of the citizens who are already used on the technology. And, you know, the government in this sense is lacking a lot when it comes to the design of the e-services in the Western Balkans. Concretely in Montenegro, we do not have, I think that we have just few services that are like sophisticated level, and it is like e-health. And a lot of services that are offered by the government are either like on the first level, so you just get an information, or you have like the requirement to download the document, but then again, you have to go to the institution and finish the process. So it is a bit complicated. People from the Western Balkans, and we already discussed this in one of the previous sessions here in Tallinn, is that actually like people do not have trust in institutions. So they're lacking trust in the work of the institutions. And I really do believe that digital transformation can be a keystone to work on that. Like, of course, we have to work in different parallel things at the time. But I think that it can be a really beneficial thing for the accountability and transparency. And to get back to your question about the project, I do think that it helped, especially in Montenegro. We had like a really successful initiative on the local level where we actually gained to digitalize or actually develop e-services of the second level within the municipality of Nikšić. So it is like a really successful local initiative for Montenegro. And also a lot of organizations have been more involved on the policymaking level and helping the government with the inputs.
But Snežana, one more question to you exactly on this point, since you were also taking stock a little bit of the situation for, like, from your point of view, let's say, for what concerns the public sector side, no, at least for what concerns Montenegro. Maybe Admirim can also say if the situation is similar based on what he saw, let's say, in the past couple of 2-3 months, let's say, that he's been appointed in the new role of minister. But Snežana, like, for example, on in a blog on the website of 35 millimeters that was released as part of the project, in any case, like, you I mean, the NGO says that there is a certain, let's say, lack of like legislative but also technical, let's say, no, competences in the public sector in that sense. Is it one of the goals of the project to increase this, or the project maybe instead is more focused on what civil society organizations can do to nudge the government to increase this? Meaning, what line of activity is actually part of ITSEDA to that end?
Yeah, I mean, like, as you already said, the second part would be more accurate. I mean, the purpose of the project is not to actually give the IT, you know, kind of capacity building to the government, but rather to, as its name states, empower civil society organizations to be more involved and to work closer with the government, so we can build together more citizen-centered e-services. And I really think that these kind of synergies are important. And what ITSEDA does is that it brings organizations from the region, but it is like a network of the organization, institutions, and the media. Actually, like a fun fact, and just to give a little bit of data, 41 CSO from the Western Balkan is a part of the ITSEDA network. We have partnership with 24 institutions on local and national level, and we have partnership with 18 media. And we already supported over 20,000 citizens in obtaining and developing e-services. So our focus is on helping citizens actually demanding better quality e-services on one side, and on the other side, you know, advocating and working together with the government, providing input and pushing and nudging them to provide better quality services.
Admirim, I will now turn to you for a second, because actually, Snezhana mentioned a couple of things, and also actually based on the question that I just asked, since you can instead provide the government perspective, the public sector point of view on the situation. My question to you would be, do you think that so far there has been, in your opinion, in your view, and based on what you have seen so far, do you think that there has been, let's say, that this activism from the side of citizens or CSOs, let's say, so far, has actually pressed, let's say, the public sector a bit more, pushed the public sector a bit more into devoting more attention to the digital topics? So do you think that there has been a change as a consequence of a push from the civil society towards the public sectors? Or is that also, let's say, a goal that at the moment is set on paper, but that you still need to work on a little more, let's say? Well, essentially, what I'm asking about is, like, is there a constructive formulation of the expectations that citizens and CSOs have towards the government on these topics, and how the government, or like how, for example, the public sector was able to actually create actions, let's say, on the basis of these requests? What's your opinion so far?
I think that very good question. You know, citizens, they always welcome initiatives that make their life easier. So when we talk about digitalization, we think in that sense that, you know, you make a certain service to the citizens easier. Let's say if for one document a citizen needs to go in 2-3 booths, you know, to sign hard copies, why not make that service, you know, digitally, so from the comfort of their home, citizens can do it. So citizens, you know, they raise their voice, but it's important that also NGOs, you know, take that voice, so to say, and amplify it. And I think here it comes, you know, the role of NGOs. And this makes it easier also for politicians or for certain institutions. Let's say if me as a minister, like in my country, I'm a minister of information society and administration, but in the government, I'm one of 21 ministers. So let's say if I want to push certain thing, it would be much easier if I can have references to also NGO sector that, you know, they are also pushing for this, because this is a legitimate concern or request from citizens. And usually such things can be expedited and more successful when all these stakeholders, you know, raise the voice for that. This is one aspect of it. Another aspect, how I see it, I think that, you know, because I'm also responsible for the administration part of the government, of course, administration is intertwined somehow with digitalization, because if you want to make administration more efficient, you can do it also with the digital component of it. I see it that it's our responsibility also to fight bribery and corruption that still exists in some parts of the institutions. For instance, you know, with these classical ways of obtaining documents, you just make a request to a certain institution and you have no answer, but you can't really, you know, specify the blame, who is to blame for that delay or something. When you make that process digitally, I think, you know, we raise accountability and we raise transparency. So you don't give the option, you know, of certain corrupt official to
room for doubt.
Exactly. Let's say, yes. No? So in this context, also I see main beneficiary of digitalization, and that's why we must push forward. Yeah.
And from the perspective of the study trip that you're actually right now taking to Tallinn, the talking points, let's say, that are also connected to the project are, for example, the digital agenda, the key enablers in making digital tools, for example, or a digital government ecosystem work, public services, e-democracy. Is there, for example, among these fields, let's say, among these specific topics, something where you think that there could be even like a tighter collaboration, let's say, between the civil society organizations and the government? Meaning, do you think that, for example, civil society organizations can, I don't know, maybe push more for what concerns topics that regard participation in e-democracy over, I don't know, the development of public services? Meaning, within the project, for example, how do you think that the responsibilities, let's say, for making these subtopics work are distributed? I would say first, Snezhana, and second, Admiri.
I mean, definitely the tight collaboration when it comes to e-participation is, I think, one of the key things, I mean, from the perspective of the civil society organization. But it is also, I think, in increasing the usage of e-services, because although we do have, and I think it is the similar case in North Macedonia, we do have quite number of e-services that are not actually used, or they're, like I already mentioned before, are not on a satisfying level. But, the citizens in the Western Balkan, the people really like these routines. There are a lot of people who don't want to change things. And there is also, at least I'm speaking for Montenegro, like a low level of digital literacy is also an issue, and a low level of awareness of the importance and the benefits that the digital transformation and actually like good e-governance and e-government can have, and can, you know, and how beneficial it can be for them. Because, you know, when they see these processes, and the minister has already mentioned it, if I have to go to the 3 or 4 counters to sign something, although I know that it is an e-service there, I'm just going to say, no, it is too much, you know, complications for me. It is easier just to go to the counter and do it traditionally. So back to your question, because I tend to stray a bit. Definitely when it comes to the study visit, I think this is a great opportunity for all of us, especially since this is where the representatives from the institutions and the CSOs are coming together to discuss Estonian experience, you know, the good experience and what has happened, but also to exchange experiences from our own countries and to see if there is, you know, a potential for further exchange of knowledge on one side, and on the other side, strengthening, you know, connections between our own local delegations. Because, for example, I'm here with, you know, representatives of the institutions and everything, and these kind of trips are actually, you know, you can discuss in a more non-formal manner some ideas and some things. And I really do think that these are like precious moments where we can actually exchange ideas and think of the ways how we can push through, as the minister already mentioned, some things, and how we can help ministries, because sometimes you get some inside information. Like, for example, we would need more inputs on this. You hear it as a comment, and then you say, okay, we have a network of CSOs. The government needs push on this. Let's see if we can, you know, manage to work more and give them some input on this, because we see that there is an openness for it. So, yeah, pretty much sums it up.
Admirim, now in redirecting the question to you, I would also actually ask something that it's a bit more specific to this trip that you're having at the moment in Tallinn, meaning on the topics that we mentioned, I will just recap them very briefly. So, for example, digital agenda, the key enablers in making digital tools work, and also like public services or developing participation, so e-participation, as Nesha, for example, phrased it. Then, of these topics, what are you looking forward, let's say, to dig into more based on the Estonian experience and also based on what the expertise of that EGA, that the Governance Academy, offered so far in the project? Like, what are you looking forward to?
So, since my first day in office, usually on government level, when we discuss about digitalization, one of the first examples everybody mentions is Estonia. It's like, you know, because Estonia is very good in digitalization, and because Estonia has a lot of similarities with countries like North Macedonia or Montenegro, you know, both in the demographics and the territory and so on. So, until now, even before visiting Estonia, we have been in contact with some Estonian experts. I'm talking about myself, but even before me, my colleagues and other government officials have been in contact last couple of years from Estonian colleagues, mainly in, you know, exchanging experiences and good practices and somehow, you know, asking for a formula on which we can implement, you know, in our country. That's why in this aspect, what I'm seeing today in my first day of this workshop is that here we can go more thoroughly, you know, on any topic. You know, we just don't discuss it only superficially, but really can see the whole picture, how one thing has been done, and get more ideas how we can do them back home. Usually, when it comes to digitalization from the government perspectives, there are, you know, at least two aspects of it. One aspect is obstacles in regulations, and another aspect is the technology, which technology or how you decide which technology to use for certain thing or for certain service. And I think in both these segments, we have a lot to learn from our Estonian colleagues, because they have had, you know, these obstacles at least a decade before us, maybe more. And, you know, we can just learn from them how they overcame those obstacles and which is the best way for us to overcome obstacles, both in regulation and in technology. And when it comes here to the NGOs or to these initiatives like AIKEDA, it is that the leading role of this is done by the NGOs. Like in this case, Metamorphosis has organized this event. So it's like an NGO is connecting two governments or, you know, more entities, because it's not only government officials, but also people from NGOs and governments and four different countries being in the same place together. All of us having the possibility to learn from our Estonian friends, but also we have the possibility to get to know each other and to learn from each other's experiences, because I think, you know, we have cases where some knowledge resides in North Macedonia but not in Montenegro, or vice versa. And I think we can also help each other as neighbors.
Well, that is also what Snezhana mentioned before, no, in terms of like the expertise that can be exchanged also among the different partners of the project from that area. So like not even necessarily, let's say, with the Estonians, but in that this moment of, how to say, convivium, somehow symposium in a way, could help indeed exchange best practices, ideas, maybe even like goals that can be applied like in different contexts. And at this point, based on the chat that we had today, I can only wish you a good continuation of the study trip and hopefully enough sightseeing, because I mean, Tallinn is pretty cool. It's pretty nice. So why not? With this, just for reference for the listener, for our audience, Metamorphosis that was mentioned, the Metamorphosis Foundation is also part of the ITSEDA project and is based in North Macedonia. And it's part of the CSO's side of the equation, I imagine, in the project, right?
I would just like to add, if it is possible, that like the, also the project is implemented in five countries of the Western Balkan, which is North Macedonia, Montenegro, Serbia, Kosovo, and Albania. So the representatives from all of the five countries are right now in Estonia.
And you are, I think, about 23 people?
What people, was the number? Yeah.
23. Okay.
That's it, pretty much.
Okay, but Admirim and Snežana, thanks a lot for joining us
today.
Thank you for having us, Federik. It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure, too.
A pleasure. A pleasure for me as well, exactly. And to you, as I said already, I wish you like a good time in Tallinn for the rest. And to our audience, just actually a nice day, evening, whatever time it is when you're tuning in. And see you at the next episode.
This podcast is brought to you by eGovernance Academy. Tune in on next Wednesday.